Hi again, everybody. We welcome you into ESP media coverage of Moeller Fighting Crusader Athletics. Today, we are talking baseball, our Moeller Baseball podcast that we've kind of had to go away for a few weeks because a little travel, a little illness. I was out one day sick as well, but very happy to have with us the head coach for baseball, Tim Held, with us. And Tim, you look a little more tan, so I guess you were south somewhere.
Well, right, just from the neck up. That's about it.
Is that what it is? That's okay. Well, that's a good thing. Well, we'll get into that coming up here in just a few moments, but we want to kind of catch everybody up on what's going on with Moeller Baseball. 12-3 on the season to this point. We're recording this on Monday, the 22nd of April, just after Easter. You guys are just back from a great trip down to Myrtle Beach. We'll recap that. But it's been about a month or so since we really had a chance to talk, and a lot has happened since we last talked as well. So we're kind of going to go back through the season. But your thoughts before we get into kind of some general games, where you're at right now at 12-3?
We're feeling good about where we're at. We've played a ton of non-league games. We're just 2-1 in the league, and kind of fires up later today the next 3 weeks. So that GCL battle. So with all that we've done with our non-league games, we're feeling really comfortable about where our pitchers are at, what our relief situation is in all those games, and what our batting order is and what we feel most comfortable with. So kind of putting it all together and feel good going into this last 3 weeks of the regular season with the GCL and heading into the tournament.
Yeah, GCL will kick up, like you said, a couple of games against Elder coming up this week. We'll talk about that coming up. Getting the pitching staff set up and how much of that is high school baseball is so many games in such a small amount of window. And really, thankfully, knock on wood, we've had great weather this spring for the most part. Only two games that have had to be washed out. But when you're getting your pitching set, how much of that is because you have so many games in a short amount of time, trying to kind of level who you want pitching against certain teams, and how much of it is still trying to figure out who can pitch?
Right. You know, early in the year, you have guys are on kind of limited pitch counts. They're trying to build that pitch count up. So you know you're going to get a lot of guys in early, and you're trying to deal with the rain. And you got guys that have done it in the past, like Jack Pacetti, who's been a 3-year starter on the varsity.
Right.
Justin Hornschmeyer, who threw a ton of innings last year for us before he missed a little time with injury. So, you know, you've got some guys back that you know are going to be able to do well. And then trying to balance some of the new guys who came up from the JV. So a lot of guys got opportunities early. And like I said, we kind of settled into roles. And now we're also dealing with this extra week in the season.
We got
the 7th week. So trying to figure out playing 3 games or 4 games a week, what that does with our pitching staff and our relief corps. And it's let us flex a couple guys down to throw some innings for the JV team. We're kind of figuring all that stuff out. But we feel pretty comfortable with who those 3-4 starters are that are going to get out there each week and give us the best chance to win.
Well, let's kind of go back and recap. We've actually had 8 games since we last did a podcast that were local right here just in the greater Cincinnati area. That doesn't count going out of town and going down to Myrtle Beach and playing some of those games. But overall, we've actually had 13 games since we last played, 11-2. So obviously a great record. First game, want to recap, kind of go back to the local games, the games that you played right here before you went out of town. First, we have to talk about it because it kind of relates to pitching, would be the game against Turpin. And that would be the game that was a 10-0 victory, but more so the special of that game, Andrew Diley, a perfect game. Only the second time ever in school history that a pitcher's pitched a perfect game.
Right, it was incredible. It was the 3rd game of the season. it was our first true home game. We'd played at Prasco. We'd played a game at UC. And so we're finally at Schuller Park for the first time. We're, like I said, we're trying to figure out all these things about our team. You know, we're so young. And then, you know, all of a sudden about the 4th inning, you know, we're up 6-0 or 8-0, and then we score 2 more in the bottom of the 4th to go up 10, and we kind of go out to the top of the 5th, and
kind of a strange
look on people's faces, and I kind of look around, and the dugout's really quiet, and I kind of pieced it together. I was like, I don't think I've seen Andrew throw out of the stretch today. and then I start thinking about it and kind of glance at the book and like, nope, hasn't walked anybody, we haven't made any errors, no hits. So not only a no hitter on the line, but that perfect game. And he was just unbelievably sharp. I mean, he was spotting his fastball wherever he wanted, in, out, up, down. And he throws a big 12-6 curveball that more and more high school kids are getting away from. So that looks a little bit different. He was getting a lot of swing and misses on that. People swinging right over the top. So just, I mean, an incredible moment for him and for our program to join Alex Wimmer's in that record book of a perfect game.
Yeah, and there's been other no-hitters that have had. I know Sebastian Fabik had one a couple of years ago, but a perfect game. That's a different story. And it was a five-inning perfect game. Right. If you go seven innings, think he still nails it? Or
well, the tough part would be was the first week of the season. He had thrown in relief a little bit on Saturday and actually got the loss in that first game because we didn't make a couple plays in the seventh inning there. And so here he is in his first start. So it was right on that edge of he was about 60, 65 pitches of do we let him go any further? Right. So we were really going to have to make some decisions there. So we're happy that we scored those two runs in the bottom of the fourth to get 10. But, you know, and there's been some people say, well, it was a five-inning perfect game. But
does not matter.
You know, let's see how many guys have thrown five innings perfect in any one game, whether they won or lost. And so it was just awesome to be a part of and watch.
That's so great. So congratulations, Andrew. 15 up, 15 down, only the second in school history, and that's saying something.
Right.
So,
it was awesome.
Absolutely. So that was a 10-0 victory. Way back, that was on March 27th. We're talking a month ago. So then you had a series of games. You got a 7-6 win over Loveland. How was that game? I mean, that game went right down to the wire.
Yeah, that one, you know, again, putting pitchers out there, their first time on the mound for the varsity for some of them. You know, we really battled. We didn't help ourselves with walking a number of guys. Didn't give up many hits, but just, you know, putting too many guys on base. Now when they get a hit or two, it really, you know, shows that we got some things to work on.
And it's a good thing to have. I mean, that gives you things to know, okay, here's what we need to concentrate on. Because once you get into the games, how much practice time is there at that point? How much of it is practicing while the game's going on or trying to put all that into motion while the game's going on?
Right. Usually if you practice, it's a bad weather day, so you can't get out on the turf and work on some things. You can always hit with the facility we have, but, you know, trying to get up there and work on some of those defensive things are tough at times. So, you're coaching on the fly and talking about things before you go out and take pregame. It's crazy.
Well, and it's funny you say that because that game was Friday the 29th of March. Saturday you had a rainout against Jackson on March 30th. So, and that was supposed to be a game at Prasco. So, obviously, and that was a cold, rainy kind of a day. So, chance to get into work on some of those things at that point?
Yeah, but it rained all day that day. So I think from what I remember, that was a while ago, that we were trapped inside, maybe did some things down on the AC floor, work on some pick plays and some close quarter stuff, but not really outside hitting ground balls, fly balls, and those things.
And every team at that point is going through kind of some of that same similar issues. It's here, I mean, as we've seen the weather, it kind of, you turned the light on and it went from winter to spring all of a sudden, and we've had this nice run of good weather. So to get out, so let's go through. You had a victory against West Claremont, a 9-6 game, and that one, another kind of somewhat close game.
That one, our starting pitcher, I remember the first inning there, Justin Hornschmeyer, had no luck. I think they started out the game with three straight singles, and maybe one of them was hard hit. I think he hit a guy, walked a guy, another base hit, and all of a sudden we're down 4-5 to nothing in the first inning. But it was great for our team, for them to learn some things about themselves and being resilient, and for me to see that they weren't going to back down. They weren't going to pack it in the first inning. They knew we still had 6-7 at-bats to go out and make things happen, and we did. So kind of figured their starter out, and were able to get the runs we needed late.
So came back and got the victory, and that's a good – another kind of one of those learning opportunities for the team when you get a chance to have to come from behind in a game. Puts guys in different kinds of situations when you're at the plate. I mean, are you a little more aggressive? Are you a little more cautious? I mean, knowing you –
Right, trying to get them to understand, you know, we're still 6-7 innings to go. We're not going to change our philosophy. We're not going to stop running. We're going to force the issue and see what we can get and get back in the game. If the defense shows that they can stop us in those things, then we'll adjust. But you know, it's one of those games where at the moment I wasn't happy. I think we should be playing better. But in the end, at the end of the year, you're like, that was great for us.
Yeah.
So That's part of it as I get older that I gotta work through, you know, wanting perfection all the time. So, again, it was good for us.
It's funny you say that, too. It's easier said than done sometimes. And then you got to also coach these young men. And it's do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
And that. So keeping your composure there, it's always a learning process. That's a good thing to know. Right. So come back then the next night, and you get into GCL action. Finally, a LaSalle game, an 11-1 victory in that game to get the GCL season started. And looking through that one, Jack Pacetti on the mound for that game?
Yeah, I think we might have went down 1-0, you know, maybe I can't remember if we walked a guy or something, but I was like, oh, here we go, kind of like the West Claremont. but then we scored a couple, and we got to their starter. He wasn't throwing strikes, and he walked a couple. We got a couple big base hits, and then LaSalle kind of just threw a different guy every inning, and so we got to a couple guys and ended up getting out of there with 11-1 win, because that's a tough place to play.
Oh, yeah.
Over at their place.
Absolutely. So that was a good victory. Then next game against Ryle, a little Northern Kentucky battle with the Ryle High School. Game went 10 innings, and this was before we got a chance to broadcast the next day the Upper Arlington game on a Saturday. So Friday night, your pitching got taxed a little bit with a long game, a 10-inning game in high school. That's a long game. That's a long game in any game.
Right. It was felt like we were there forever. Takes forever to get to Ryle on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
Getting across the bridge and everything. So we were in Northern Kentucky for quite a while. But, you know, our starter, Matthew Treadway, did a great job. We were facing a guy named Evan Webster, about a 6'4" lefty that's going to go pitch at Louisville. It was a great test for us. And so we got to him, got a couple runs off him, and like I said, Matthew really held us in the game. I think he went about 5 innings there, and you know, gave us a chance to win, because Webster really had us tied up at different moments, and then we got into those extra innings and were able to score. Had some really big hits. I think Pacetti and Travis Graves had big hits there in the top of the 10th to knock in those runs, and then Eric Bronner came in and threw those last few innings.
Got you through that.
To get the win.
Yeah, you're right. Treadway went 5 innings, no runs, 3 hits. So that's a pretty impressive performance, too, against Ryle's kind of one of those schools that it's a big school down in Northern Kentucky. It's got a lot of athletes down there. So they're kind of a little hidden type of a powerhouse that people are going to hear more and more of. Football, they're always pretty strong.
Right. You know, Coach Rosal does a great job down there with them, and great field and set up and everything. So it's a good environment to go and play in on a Friday night, just 10 innings before we have to play Saturday at noon. It was a little rough.
Right. It was really at dusk, too, when it was getting done. I mean, were you able to see the ball at that point, though?
Or the umpires came over, and they're like, this is going to be the last inning. And it was one of those nights. It was gray anyway, so at 5 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock when we finished, it was kind of all the same. Like, it was like, we're really saying it's too dark. It hasn't really changed since 5. But
they were ready to go.
They were ready to go. So then our offense decided to kick it in, and we scored 3.
And that's what you needed to do, and you got the win. So 5-2 over Ryle. Next day, Saturday, he played in the high school showcase, the Reds High School Showcase over at the Youth Academy, and that was a chance. We actually, myself and Jonesy, were at Mike Jones to broadcast that game. I thought strong all the way through. So.
Yeah, Upper Arlington was really good, really good. They had some big boys. It looked like about 4 tight ends out there playing different positions.
They had a lot of football guys, yep.
Their pitcher battled, and I think we scored 3 or 4 like in 1 inning there to –
And we were bummed out because there was a play in that game, and I know you've had a lot of games since then. The play down in left field, there was a fly ball that went into foul territory that it looked like the guy caught it, and then in the transfer dropped it, and it looked like he was in foul territory. The umpire in that said, one, he was in fair territory when he got the ball, and then he never really had control of it and dropped it. Gave you a single, and I think you ended up scoring some runs after that. Do you remember that play?
Yeah.
Or what was the
– I cannot remember if it was fair or foul. I don't remember
– Well, they called it fair.
Correct.
It looked – it was right on the line.
It was right on the line. I don't remember, you know, if he would have said it was foul. I can't remember if in my mind I was like, I'm going to go argue that. I know it was right down there. I was actually thinking this has a chance to get out.
I did,
because
too.
Because it's only 300 with the tall fence down there. And what he said on the non-catch was that because he didn't get his hand in there. He never got the bare hand in there. And so it went in the glove, and then he kind of put the glove up to brace himself on the fence before he went into it, and the ball came flying out.
Which it did,
So, you know, I, if – I feel that if he would have called him out, I don't know that I would have went and argued that. It was a great play by the left fielder, kind of fearless because it's short down there and right against the wall and a big high fly ball from a left-handed hitter. So it was something he wasn't expecting for us to – a left-handed hitter to put it down the left field line 300 feet.
Deep into the corner.
Right. So it was kind of crazy, but it worked out in our favor. And we're not going to invite him back to replay it from there or anything. We'll take it.
That's pretty much what we said on the air about that as well. So, and you got the 6-3 win over Upper Arlington at the showcase. Tom Gamble's group, phenomenal for what they do for high school baseball.
Right. It was awesome, you know, to be down there in the stadium field at the Youth Academy and all that Tom has to organize and do and put together to and his crew. It's quite an undertaking. So, I think he's getting some good weather to be able to get his games in and not have to deal with all the reschedules. That's funny. Maybe a little bit Saturday.
Time they had any game scheduled was Saturday, yeah. So they've been fairly lucky. Yep. So that's for sure. So good win there against Upper Arlington. Then you had the Elder and the St. X game. Elder, more GCL action. 9-0 win at the Pack in the Monday game. So go back and kind of remember some of that and what Elder's got because you're facing them again tonight.
Right. You know, that one was a little crazy because about 8 in the morning, our starting pitcher for the day, Jack Pacetti, texts me and says, Coach, I can hardly bend over and tie my shoes. So he strained something in his back.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, we had a fresh guy in Austin Strickland ready to go, playing all the innings Friday night at Ryle, and we used a couple pitchers Saturday at Upper Arlington. Yeah. With Jack going down, it was a little bit of a question mark. So here's Austin Strickland, who threw GCL games as a sophomore on the JV team a year ago. But, hey, all of a sudden at 10 o'clock, like, you're starting today.
Oh, man.
Like, Jack's not going to be loosened up by then. So he went out through great. I don't believe he walked anybody, struck out 8 or 9. He controlled both sides of the plate. Really good fastball going that day. And then offensively, got a few doubles late. And, I think Elder had a couple miscues that helped us out kind of early. And then we got some big hits to kind of to blow that one open. But, you know, the way Austin was throwing, we would have been fine 1-0.
It's good to have another option in there, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You come through that. Then the next day, another GCL, or actually on Wednesday, the April the 10th game at Schuller against St. X. And maybe run out of gas a little bit in that one.
Yeah, their guy, a lefty, just had us all tied up, fastball, changeup guy, and then we just couldn't figure him out. He was on that day. And I think, talking to their pitching coach in the parking lot after the game, he said he was at 12 or 13 scoreless, straight scoreless innings.
Wow.
So that guy was really,
magic.
Really throwing well, yeah. And so, we had a miscue on a bunt early on that score really should have been 0-0 going into the seventh. But we misplayed a bunt, and then they got one hit there. Andrew Diley was starting. I can't remember who we went to after that, but the game was X only had one hit going into the seventh.
Yeah.
And so, if we make the play on the bunt, here we are at 0-0, and then who knows what happens once we get to the seventh. But we were down 3-0 at that point, gave up another run in the seventh, and never figured out magic.
So you get a chance to be on the different side of things. You lose again. What do you learn from that, and what does the team learn from that?
Trying to figure out, not waiting till those fifth, sixth, seventh innings about what are we going to do to figure this guy out. Once we see him face the first three guys in the first inning, of guys being locked in and making an adjustment and knowing what they have to do with their swings and what kind of pitches they need to look at, so that we're not in that situation.
So you got to that part of the season, first GCL loss of the year, but still learning things at that point and getting ready now for, I don't want to ever say, because the season's such a long, quick, there's so many games in such a short amount of time. So you're trying to put all those games together. You suffer that first loss. At that point of the year, you're still 8-2, though, but you're getting ready to go into a different kind of part of the season. And we're going to take a break, come back and talk about that. You went over to Indianapolis playing in the PBR Midwest, and then you had the trip this past weekend, last week, I should say, down to Myrtle Beach. So we'll talk about that. We're going to take a little break, come back and talk more with Tim Hell, the Moeller baseball coach, the Crusaders, at this point of the season. Again, are 12-3, more on the Moeller baseball 2019 season when we return on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696 or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a job we love. You see, Robert Half isn't just a staffing firm. We're people. People who believe in finding the right people to fit your company's needs. Because employees who are a good fit are more productive, more engaged. Finding a great candidate isn't easy, but at Robert Half, we know it's possible. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Back on our Mueller Baseball Podcast on ESP Media, I'm Greg Waddell here with Mueller Baseball Coach Tim Held. And Tim, at that point of the season that we just finished up, you are 8-2, coming off a loss to St. X, and losing anything to St. X, that stings a little bit, but because the baseball season is such a quick one with so many games, you got to put it behind you pretty quick.
Yes. And X has had our number here the last couple of years. I believe we lost 2 out of 3 last year ago. So I guess we're kind of starting off on that same foot. So we got to right the ship here.
And those games still to come. Still 2 more games to come down the road. We'll talk about those coming up here. But the next part of the schedule gets into some out-of-state, not only out-of-conference, but out-of-state competition. And probably not a lot of chance for you to know who you're facing, so it's we've got what we've got. We're going to put up our best against what you've got, too.
Right. You know, you're looking guys up on Max Preps, see what their team's like, see what their team's been history's been like. You're going to Prep Baseball Report and searching players and searching their school to see, you know, what commitments they have and all that. And going up against Joliet Catholic, you know, I'm telling my coaches about it, and they're like, well, I don't know that anybody's going to feel sorry for us because it's like looking in the mirror. Like there's guys committed at every position for them, big arms on the mound. I think one pitcher is committed to go to Illinois, another one to Minnesota, and we didn't even see those two. We saw this other right-hander who's not committed. But I feel like the way he threw against us that night, he should be committed.
If not, he will be.
He had a really tough slider going. Again, great test for us, and in the end, if the wind wasn't blowing 18 to 20 miles an hour, we might have come away with the win there. We misplayed 3 or 4 balls in one inning that off the bat, you're like, we got this, but then they're not going anywhere close to where they should. And, you know, and you got your center fielder and your left fielder playing on the warning track, so balls that are blooped, they have no chance to get to them, you know, and foul balls or sometimes fair balls, and so it was crazy.
Can't give up on plays.
Right, so I think we gave about 7 outs up in the second or third inning, and that really hurt us. But again, we were down like 9-2 or something like that, and ended up only giving up 1 run the rest of the way, and we battled back and scored a few. And so, again, testing the kids and being resilient and trying to battle back, and, you know, they battled to their last out.
And when you play against teams like that are kind of a mirror image of you, what's the mindset of the guys in the dugout? I mean, do they get a little bit more amped up at that point now, and they're kind of seeing what the other team always is facing playing against them all?
Right. They're ready to go. They know it's a big time with playing at the PBR Midwest. You know, there's teams from, you know, 3 or 4 different states. They know there's pro scouts there. They know there's college scouts there. So they're more amped up than playing, you know, one of the local teams. So it's one of the cool things that we get to do because of the players that choose Mueller High School. So it's a great test for us. And again, whether we win or lose, you know, again, I'm not happy at that moment when we're not playing well and don't make some plays. But in the end, it's making us better and more battle tested for the tournament.
Absolutely. And again, playing on in a setting like that too. I mean, just from kind of looking at the pictures that I saw, I mean, great fields. I mean, a really neat setup. I mean, the fact that they had all the scouts there, they were judging the speed of the ball coming off the bat and things like that. That's a big-time environment for these guys to be a part of.
Right. You know, we got invited because of some guys on our roster and just the success of our program. Same with Joliet Catholic. And game two, the team from Southport, the reason they got invited is because of their starting pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
They committed to throwing Avery Short against us, who's supposedly one of the top 2-3 left-handers in the country.
Oh, really?
Touching 90, 91, and we got to him. I can't remember if we scored six or seven runs.
Seven runs, 13 hits in four innings.
Yeah, so we got to him, and that's one of the things that we haven't backed down. When we went a year ago and played Kokomo, and they rolled out two guys throwing 92 to 94 against us. We scored 23 runs in that game. So, that our guys rose to the occasion there, and that part's cool to be able to look at it, and, you know, even better to come away with a win. But, yeah, that whole complex over there has TrackMan on every field. So they compiled all their data, and they were putting a bunch of tweets out over the last few days of furthest balls hit, hardest balls hit, top velos. And so I know Ryan Galaney and Bryce Davenport and Quentin Morris all showed up on their kind of leaderboards for exit velo and how far they hit some of the balls.
Yeah, Galaney had a home run in that game, too. So it looked like he was among some of the top players in all the tournament were there. I think with the exit velocity on the
– I think he had top exit velocity and top distance. He had a 432-foot home run. I mean, it was one of those. I was like, I think he got it, you know, but I'm looking at the fence and looking at the ball, and then finally, okay, got out of here because we were only up one at that point. So I was like a big sigh of relief for me being up two going to the seventh inning.
And at that point, I believe that was the first home run of the year for your team, was it not? Or first or second, maybe?
I think Quentin Morris hit one earlier in the year. I don't remember against who. And then Bryce Davenport had hit one against Joliet Catholic.
Okay, so the game before that, he hit one as well. So.
Yeah, so we're at a whopping total of three.
That's correct. Is that – how normal is it for high schoolers to hit home runs? Is pitching a little bit in front of the hitting or – is it the coaching? I mean, you're using the aluminum bats, and these bats now are amazing technology that they have there, too. So,
pitching's definitely ahead early in the year because you've been batting in a cage and behind an L-screen and all those things. And then the weather doesn't help when you're playing some games. It's 37 degrees and sleet and everything. So that doesn't help the hitters. So you should see some more balls starting to fly here. The hitters are becoming more locked in. Going to play today. It's going to be 75 degrees and sunny. So you'll start to see more doubles and triples and sneak some more balls over the fence.
So 10-7 loss to Joliet Catholic, but then bounced back strong the same day. It was two games in one day, 8-6. So you kind of had that doubleheader against different teams. Pitching got through that okay. And you were, because that was coming off the heels of, you had the Moeller or the Elder and St. X game earlier in that week, too. So does pitching get taxed at that point or? Did you kind of have it plotted out what you wanted to do with the pitching at that point?
Yeah, we got done what we wanted to do. Justin Hornschmeyer, who had the bad inning against West Claremont with all the singles off the end of the bat and everything, he was unfortunately pitching when the bad luck pop-ups went up. So he's just no luck this year. I feel so bad for the guy because he's throwing well, and whenever things go wrong defensively, it seems like he's on the mound. And then Matthew Treadway started that second game and just came out and just threw a bunch of strikes. And, you know,
that's a good thing.
The scouting report we had on Southport said they didn't swing it very well, but I thought they did. Like, they had some guys that could play. And so you're kind of watching, and again, you're not trading film or anything for baseball.
Right,
so you're watching
them,
and you're going, this was not a good scouting report that I was given. So they, we had to adjust some things how we were pitching them, but really he did his job, and Eric Bronner came in and got the save there. And again, just figuring out roles and getting the kids comfortable and making pitches and making plays for us.
And that was an 8-6 victory over Southport on the 12th. And then you had a couple of days to kind of come home, pack the bags, and off to the beaches you go, down to Myrtle Beach and playing in the Cal Ripken Experience. First off, just when you get to do that and trips like that, and in baseball always will do one right around the spring break time to get a chance to go somewhere south, somewhere warm and play. What goes into those trips? And I know you get a tremendous amount of help from the parents too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were living the life of big leaguers there. We got out of school a little bit early on Friday and went to Indianapolis. And so that was a 11 or 12-hour day together on the bus, playing a doubleheader. I put the word out to the parents before that trip, like we needed some help, like it's Friday during Lent.
Oh.
You know, I can't walk to the concession stand and get 30 cheeseburgers or hot dogs. So, I mean, the amount of food that they had packed for those boys, it could feed us for a week, and it did, because we didn't hardly crack into all of it. came back, got back Saturday, gave the kids the whole day off, and Sunday morning we left at 8 a.m. for Myrtle Beach.
On the bus you go.
Yeah, because traveling on a charter bus and every stop's going to be 45 minutes. It's not like in our car. You know, we go to the drive-thru and just keep on going. I mean, ended up taking us about 13 hours. We got stuck outside Knoxville with some construction traffic. But we had all that food those parents made. So we just kept kind of rolling that out day by day and stop by stop with fruit and snacks and everything. So that part was great. The parents did a tremendous job. But that planning, you know, started last August, September.
Oh, yeah.
Where do we want to go? You know, get talking the budget through with the school and making sure what, you know, to make it affordable to the families.
Yeah.
And figuring out how long we wanted to be there and what worked with the rest of our schedule. So planning it all, you know, once we get down there, it's kind of now I can relax and we're here and we can play our games. But we played three games. We practiced once the first day and went to a Coastal Carolina baseball game
on
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. The weather was great. A little cool at times. It was actually warmer in Cincinnati one of the days than it was in Myrtle Beach. But it was sunny every day. And every day we woke up, we looked out, we were staring at the beach.
Oh, man, there's worse things to do in the world.
That's
right. I did see the beach picture. So if it was chilly, the guys had their shirts off, though, on the beach. They looked like they weren't cold. So.
I think it could have been 35 degrees. They would have had their shirts on.
That's usually what us Ohioans do when we go to the beach somewhere in March. And then I also said, before we'll get to the games here in a second, a little putt-putt action I saw too, or a little miniature golf that you had a little success in.
Right. Oh yeah. They the other coaches said I threw the competition. It was legit. Said I signed a illegal scorecard, but no truth to that. I won fair and square.
Cannot be proven.
All right. So we try and find some type of competition in there somewhere. So we've gone to Atlanta. We've done bowling. But with Myrtle Beach, with a pancake house and a putt-putt golf on every corner, I figured we'd be able to make that work. So we had a draft. The kids had a draft, and one guy was smart enough to Ryan Galaney drafted two of the coaches, so he knew what he was doing, and we brought our team to victory.
That's a crafty senior right there.
That's right.
So, and Ryan Galaney. So, and then on the field, well, first of all, tell us about the field, the complex. It looked, again, from looking on maps and all that stuff, it looked like a gorgeous complex.
Yeah, I know they've had some growth. I don't know what they started with originally about 8 or 10 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 fields, and they're up to about 7 or 8 fields, and there's softball there, and there's 17 batting cages and a couple
wow.
turf infields just sitting out there where you can play wiffle ball or take ground balls. So it's pretty impressive that way. And then they also partner up with another park called Grand Park that's got, I don't know, 4 or 5 turf fields where they'll play. If you take your JV team, a lot of the JV games will be there. That's where our practice was. So they have a lot going on. But if you check the schedule, I mean, there's 35 to 45 things a day going on between practices, JV games, varsity games. So those guys have it down to a science, but all turf fields, and I guess from what I understand, they just turf the mound and home plate. Those used to be dirt, so turf those, so now they really don't stop for anything.
Do you like that? I mean, because you're going to have it again later this week playing at Florence Freedom Stadium. Having those, and at UC, they have it as well at UC's baseball stadium, too.
The first couple years, the kids were worried about it. They weren't comfortable with it, but now they play so much on it that they don't say anything anymore.
It's just kind of the whole progression of how fields and getting all these games in, because you
Correct.
Want to try to get them in as much as possible. First game, Mooresville, North Carolina, a 9-4 victory in that one. That was the first day on Monday the 15th, and looking through that one, Austin Strickland on the hill again for that game.
Yeah, Austin did a great job. He's had one hiccup there in the third or fourth inning. You know, hung a curveball, guy got a base hit, hung a changeup, guy got a base hit. I don't remember if he walked or hit the next guy, and then gives up grand slam.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So we were up 3-0, felt good about where we were, and then all of a sudden we were down 4-3. So tested again, but the offense came around. Mooresville, again, from what I understand, threw their best guy, a guy throwing 86 to 88, a senior who's had done it before.
Right.
We had played Mooresville 3 or 4 years ago when we were in Atlanta at Perfect Game. So, you know, a little history with them. I knew they know how to play the game and everything and play the game right. So it was a good test for us. And then the bats came alive and stole some bases and got a couple big hits and got the 9-4 win.
9-4 on the Monday game, Tuesday against Council Rock, 9 a.m. game too. So what was that like? You go from a night game on Monday night to having about as short a turnaround as you're ever going to have.
Right. That was not a lot of fun. we did not play very well. Andrew Diley pitched, threw great, really kept us in it. We should have lost. Council Rock made a couple errors that gave us our two runs. And so, you know, offensively didn't get it done, whether that's attributed to them using three or four different pitchers and we couldn't figure them out. They weren't out there long enough, or to the 9 a.m. start. But, you know, the positive is we put the balls in play when we needed to. You know, because if we strike out in those situations, we really don't score. But, you know, hit a couple ground balls that they couldn't handle and let us score those two runs.
And they had to go through the same thing as well, an early morning game too. So
correct.
You fight through, though, and you get the win. So 2-1, the victory in the Tuesday game. Then you had the whole day off, though. I guess that was the good side of that. Right. Then you got to enjoy the beach and enjoy some of the fun and didn't play again until Wednesday night at 8:30. So there was quite a bit of downtime in between Game 2 and Game 3.
Yeah, I was a little worried about it because, you know, we're back at the hotel at noon and get them lunch and then give them some time to go to the beach. And you're telling them put sunscreen on and everything. And but, you know, are they? And
right.
So they got to enjoy some beach time Tuesday afternoon. We went to the Coastal Carolina game Tuesday night and got to enjoy, you know, that beautiful stadium. And they were playing College of Charleston, which is a great opponent. So got to take all that in. And then had the whole day Wednesday to hang out again. So that's when we did putt-putt. They got some more beach time, and then we went to the park pretty early to take a good pregame BP.
And that was against the game getting ready for Victor, New York. That game looked like everything was going well. No hitter into what, the sixth inning, I believe?
Yeah, it was. You know, we talked about Jack Pacetti, you know, waking up the Monday before, and his back was all tightened up. So this was the first time he did anything in a game.
Ooh.
From that Monday.
Anything.
Yeah. So all the treatments he received with doctors and everything and chiropractors and our training staff. So just to make sure that he was healthy to go on the mound. So, he was pretty dominant. Victor is a good school, a lot of good history there. All-state shortstop playing against us. But Jack was on his game with the high fastball and his big curveball. I believe he struck out 11 in those six innings. And then Justin Hornschmeyer came in and got three outs and like four pitches.
There you go.
So it was beautiful.
Yeah, I was watching it on Game Changer. Yeah. So that was great. Well, so that takes you to where we're at right now, 12-3 on the season. Overall, the experience to Indianapolis and then to North Carolina, you coming out of that 4-1 out of all that against really, really solid competition.
Right. You know, trying to get some wins, but trying to figure out more about your team so you're ready for these GCL games.
Yep.
So over the next 3 weeks, we got, you know, six GCL games that we're trying to win the GCL title. We're tied with Elder, both at 2-1. So this is a really big week for both of us. And then getting ready for the tournament draw. That's going to take place in about 10 days, 14 days.
Already at that point of the season.
Right, to figure all that out. You know, yeah. If it gets nice out, that means our season's about done.
Ooh.
You know.
Well, that's true. That's good. The good and the bad of it all. So, well, we'll take another time out, and we're going to look ahead now to what is coming. You mentioned some GCL games coming up. So we'll take a quick time out, come back, and have more with Moeller Baseball Podcast. Head coach Tim Held here with us on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
ESP Media has been producing and operating websites, mobile apps, game films, broadcast, and social media content since 2010. We have entered into an exciting partnership with Sidearm Sports, the number one provider of collegiate athletic websites in the world. If you're reevaluating your athletic website's overall look and day-to-day operation, ESP Media can assist you. Reach us today at 513-655-4966 or email us at sales@espmediasn.com. Join ESP Media and Sidearm Sports to be the leader.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match. Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes together, it makes for a perfect fit. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the matching experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com/radio for more information.
Back on our Bowler Baseball Podcast, head coach Tim Held is with us. It's Monday, the 22nd of April, and we are really heading down the home stretch now. You mentioned it in our last segment, Tim, as you get ready with the draw coming up, believe it or not, in a week and a half or so. You did have a game canceled over the weekend with St. X out of Louisville, so that game was supposed to be played down at Highland, so just weather, it was a miserable day Saturday. So.
Right, with that game, we were able to cancel that game about Friday at 3. So we knew that we didn't want St. X driving up, and with it being Holy Saturday, we had to be done playing by 4, so that's why it was scheduled for 10 a.m. So trying to cut X off from having to get on the bus that early. So
and
it was an easy decision since it rained all day Saturday.
So was it good, though? I mean, because you had just gotten back, probably Wednesday night, Thursday. Did you leave after the game Wednesday night?
No, we left. We spent the night and left Thursday morning early, so we were back about 8:30 Thursday night.
Okay, so you had one day to kind of recover, and then you didn't have to play the game on Saturday. So now it should be well-rested as you go into a very busy week. Two games back-to-back with Elder, and you mentioned tied in the GCL right now here in the early going. So very, very big games coming up the next 2 days, or 3 games.
Yeah, big games. Over in Indianapolis, Parker Allen, our third baseman, leadoff hitter. We've played the last 4 games without him, with an injured left shoulder. So we'll be rolling in today with a sophomore shortstop. I'm gonna move Ryan Galaney to third, and where he played all of last season, and where he'll probably play collegiately. And so go with the sophomore shortstop. And I don't like trying out a new shortstop in the middle of the season, but with all the games that we've played and everything and all the different combinations we've tried, that's what we feel most comfortable with going today. So, a lot of things we have to continue to worry about and help that young guy out and
sure.
See Aiden Noyes make his varsity debut this afternoon.
Oh, good. Well, good luck to him. That's going to be very, very exciting for him. Tied with Elder at 2-1. What does Elder represent? They've got a lot of multi-sport guys that come over. I know Kyle Klingenbeck pitched the last game against you all, and he's a fabulous athlete too.
Yeah, he got hurt in our game, and so I've
oh, he
not
did.
Got. Yeah, he ended up leaving in the kind of shaking that right arm, and,
oh, no.
and in the third inning or so. So I've been told that he's out for the year, but I've not won't find that out till this afternoon.
Yeah. I think he's going to play baseball.
He's going to play Northern Kentucky.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. I hope it's nothing serious.
They have a really good lefty. I can't say his name correctly. Colton Sandhouse, I believe, is how you say it. So he pitched against us last year as a sophomore. So I would guess we'll either see him today or Wednesday. Looking at their numbers, looking at their stats, following them on social media, they went to Nashville and played and looked like they won 2 out of 3. And looks like they're offensively are waking up. Their numbers have really come a long way since when we played 2 weeks ago. It's different. It's high school players. So things change day by day, week by week. So it looks like they maybe have settled on a lineup and really starting to get things going offensively.
So that'll be back-to-back games Monday and Wednesday. Your home field, Schuller Park, tonight. Pitching-wise, where are you at now coming off the tournament and being down, having some days off, though, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, Jack Fassetti threw Wednesday, and then he'll go again today. It's 4 days rest.
Didn't know he wanted to tip our hand there.
Right now. If Coach Thompson's listening to this, we're throwing Jack Fassetti today. But he'll go today, and Austin Strickland will go on Wednesday.
Okay.
Those are the two that we feel most comfortable with. And then, with only 3 games this week since prom is on Friday. The bullpen is fully rested and ready to go, so we need to make a change. We know we got plenty of arms to pull from.
And then Thursday, the third game of this week will be Highlands playing that down at Florence Freedom. We're actually going to be broadcasting that game, so myself and Mike Jones will be down there, so we'll be excited to get a chance to see the guys again too. What do you do for those kind of games? A non-conference game at that point too. You mentioned it's the day before prom, so I'm sure guys' heads are going to be a little scattered at that point.
Right. Yeah, we've had pretty good luck. They know that I give them Friday and Saturday off. So they got to come out and be locked in and get through Thursday, and then they can shift their focus to all their plans and all everything that goes into prom. Yes. And so that'll be a big post-game talk. Playing Highlands, the Freedom are putting together a little showcase, a little Ohio-Northern Kentucky set of games. So Highlands, a great program, great success over the last few years here. So it's going to be a great battle. It's just like playing another GCL game. I don't know who they'll throw at us. They don't play like a conference. They play district seed games. Right. So if they didn't have a district seed game this week, you know, we'll probably see their number one. And
I think they play Covcath. I was kind of looking ahead at their schedule. So maybe they play Covcath tomorrow, tonight.
Yeah, and I don't know I don't know if what their districts are. I don't know if that counts as a district seed game.
Yeah, I
can't figure it all
out. I've never been able to figure it all out. So you got that one mixed in. But LaSalle, a couple of games with them coming up next week, and then down the road still to come lurking behind, two more games with St. X as well. So those, not to mention some other games mixed in with Anderson, CHCA will be in there, St. Ignatius too. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a fun weekend there. We're playing CHCA up at Prasco again. And then Anderson is set to be a night game over at their place.
I think we're going to broadcast that game, too.
Oh, that'll be cool. So, yep. That'll be cool. Pray for good weather.
Yeah,
and then
St.
Ignatius wants to come down and then kind of wrap it up on Saturday the 11th. Probably honor our seniors on Friday night. So if we do have rain, we can do that on Saturday. And then Saturday, have all the alumni out as well and honor those teams from 1989, 2004, 2009 state champs teams. And any guys that can make it out can throw out a first pitch, but honor all of our baseball alums as well.
We got to have Coach Ebel get out there and see if he can still throw.
That's right. That's right.
I want to see that.
Some BP time.
I want to see pictures of that. You mentioned the draws coming up. And then will you play? I know in years past you'll try to mix in some games as the tournament's getting started, you know, as you get into the sectionals and the districts and the regionals and all that stuff. Do you still have a couple of games to mess around with? I guess it depends on rainouts too, doesn't it?
Right now I think we're one over, so we need something to be rained out, and I would say over the next 3 weeks something will be rained out.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, we've gotten lucky, pretty lucky. We haven't had whole weeks washed out like it seems like we have in the past. So right now we're set to kind of look like we're going to get 27 in our 7 weeks, and then that means we'll just play the tournament games.
Straight through.
Now, looking at the tournament dates, they've kind of readjusted them, so we're not going to have these big gaps that we've had in the past.
Right.
So those first 2 weeks will be Tuesday, Thursday, and then there'll be a gap before the regional. So the coaches in Southwest Ohio have asked to move the district games up a little bit because we are playing that district final game on a Saturday, and if it rained with all the pitch count stuff, now you're going to Sunday and Monday, and then the regional's Thursday, Friday.
Backed up, right.
It's really putting pressure on your number two to throw that game and be ready for Friday. So
yeah.
So they've listened to us and really appreciative that they have to help the Southwest Ohio teams put their best teams on the field in the regional so our best team is making it to the state tournament. See how that works out,
yeah.
and go from there.
Yeah, whatever team it is out of Southwest Ohio, hopefully it's your guys. As we look through some of the numbers, Michael Tenney leading the way hitting-wise, .421. He's playing very well. Ryan Galaney, I'm sure you expected that. He's right there as well. He's leading the team with 18 hits. RBI-wise, Michael O'Callaghan, he's driving in the runs. He's got 12 ribbies. Quentin Morris and Michael Tenney right there with 11. Pitching-wise, again, looking through things, Andrew Diley, he and Austin Strickland look like they've thrown the most, only because I guess you had Jack Pacetti out for a couple starts.
Right, Jack missed a start, or else he'd be in the low 20s there, probably be a little bit ahead of Andrew. But, yeah, those guys, you know, Tenney and Galaney and O'Callaghan, those are the guys that are batting 1-2-3 in our lineup. So it makes sense. They're the hottest bats. They're getting the most at-bats. So really getting it done for us. And Q Morris has kind of been somewhere in that 4-5-6 range. So he's been getting it done in that area and helping us behind the plate, doing a great job catching-wise. And so been playing a lot of guys, and you can see a lot of the at-bats are pretty similar there. And, now we're kind of settling in on a lineup and make this stretch run.
All righty. Well, the stretch run it is. And, again, it starts with Elder today. Best of luck with that one today, Coach. And hopefully everything's good with Jack Pacetti, and he's healthy rest of the way out. We're excited to see you guys Thursday against Highland, but you'll have two more games in between now and then. So good luck with those Purple Panthers coming up today and on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Tim, always good seeing you. Head Coach Tim Held. We'll try to get back at this again, weather permitting, everything, schedule permitting and everything, Monday, May 13th. We're going to kind of recap things, and that'll be getting us ready for tournament time. So we'll kind of recap the rest of the season up till the tournament time when we get together again. So
perfect.
A lot of stuff going on. So
all right. Thank you.
There you go. That is Tim Held, the baseball coach for Moeller High School. I'm Greg Waddell. Appreciate you listening to our Moeller Baseball Podcast on ESPN Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.